It's football at four. Here's The Drive with Denver Broncos Ring of Famer Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
All right, here we go. Football at four. Day one for Tom Nalen. With me. Not really day one ever. I mean,
getting tired. I haven't worked in a while.
Are you running out of energy?
A little bit.
Well, you did get here, like, you were doing other stuff here, right?
Yeah,
like,
I worked the whole day before I got here. Well, here.
What were you doing?
I had a bunch of meetings here.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I try to stay away from those.
I was done by three.
Yeah, I know. It's an energy suck. You really just want to cruise in right before the show starts.
My man Raj sent an email. I was like, damn, can you fit anything else in? This is a show, you know.
I mean, you got to try a little bit in the beginning, right? No?
Sometimes.
Garrett Bradbury. What's special about Garrett Bradbury?
He looks like centers that I'm accustomed to watching. Like in a West Coast style offense, whether it be the Broncos or San Fran back in the day, but all those offenses, if you watch him on film, I'm like, man, it looks similar to what I used to do.
How's that?
Like his steps when he's uncovered, he's combo blocking with the guard up to the linebacker, his slides, everything is very similar to me. And when I watch Eric McCoy from A&M, he looks like a powerful, more powerful type. Whereas I wasn't like this powerful guy. I just kind of got away with what I could do with my strength, but that wasn't my strength. And Bradbury seems like a similar type of player.
Is that common for guys who play guard who then play center?
They're bulkier. Like if you ask Stink to play center, it would look weird.
He could do it, weird.
Anybody can do it. I mean, as long as you can snap the ball and get in front of someone, but there's something about it. Like, Dermonti Dawson was like this so fluid of a center, but there were other centers that'd be like, man, I do not like. And I like the way Dermonti Dawson played.
So did that develop for you through college, I would assume, when more or less you were getting those reps over and over and over
again? Yeah, but it was, and we had Coughlin as our coach, and it wasn't a zone-style blocking scheme that we had. It was more counters and powers and things like that. So it was more when Alex Gibbs got here. It was after Wade was fired and Shanahan got here, and it just kind of fit the way my style.
Okay.
Because I wasn't that big. But if you watch Stink play center, it would look weird. But if you watch me play guard, it would look weird.
Why would it look weird playing guard?
Because I did it as a rookie here. And I watched myself on film and go, man, I just don't look like guard. I don't look like a guard. It's hard to explain why, but it's just a visual
thing. But you can see it.
And Connor McGovern to me, and I told you, I watched week 17. I wanted to give him some time to see what, you know, if he could kind of grow into that role.
Connor McGovern for the Broncos, not from Penn State. Okay.
Yeah. And I know it's weird.
I know.
They cannot draft the other one. They just can't. But I watched him. I go, man, he still looks like a guard at this point because he's had training camps at guard. And he's their backup center, but you don't get a lot of reps there.
No.
So he looks like a guard playing center. I'd prefer, and wherever you take a center, you're going to be saving money over Matt Paradis.
Yes.
But you're going to have a center. And why weaken two positions? That was my point. Like, why move the right guard to center and then have to find a right guard? And right now it's Wilkerson. And he's a tackle playing guard. You have a guard playing center. It just seems like the dominoes are falling the wrong way. So I prefer a true center.
Would it be crazy then to drop down, just spitballing here, try to drop down, pick up Bradbury, and then pick up Reisner?
Man, that would be awesome. If Ronald Leary can come back healthy,
he won't.
Well, then you can move McGovern over.
Right. But what about that?
Reisner is I told you, he's played right tackle. He's been all-conference 3 years in a row at K-State. He's a right tackle.
How about that?
But we just paid a bunch of money for right tackles. He's not going to be a right tackle.
That's right.
So, right guard.
Yes.
And he looks like not a Quentin Nelson yet, but could turn into that.
Yeah.
kind of a road grading type of guard with good tackle feet playing guard.
How about those high school highlights?
Oh, my gosh. I felt bad for those ends he was blocking out of the screen, off the film.
It was
who
really
knows what happened after that?
It was really like a real-life version of the blindside football highlights, the high school blindside.
But every play. And then he's playing middle linebacker. It was crazy.
That dude must have had so much fun playing high school football.
Oh, he didn't come off the field.
Can you imagine being like that
good? This is nothing. And then he goes to K-State and starts for 4 years.
Yeah, he's a three-year captain.
Started right away as a center after redshirting. I love the way he plays, but there's no need for right tackle now with the Broncos.
But what about drop back Bradbury? And it'd be tempting.
Is Risner not there, though? That's the other worry.
Risner,
I think he goes at the end of the first round. I know a lot of people say second round, but if there's not a lot of quarterbacks taken, all these other players are being taken.
I think it's risky. I think the best way, if you really want to do something for the Denver Broncos for the long term, for Joe Flacco, because you believe in Joe Flacco.
I do.
If you really
short term, I believe in him.
If you really wanted to do it, you would move back, do anything you can to move back and pick up Bradbury, and then do everything you can to move up to get Risner.
That would be perfect. Because
and then you'd have them both with 5-year options.
I know, and that's important to get a guy in the first round like that because you do have that extra year.
Mm-hmm.
But I know Stink has said this before, but you know, building from the inside out and your upfront guys, you have Connor McGovern, so you have a hole somewhere, either it's center or guard, and you have to address that immediately. High. Not at the end of the – not a Philip Blake who was 28 years old when they drafted him in the fourth round.
Right.
Nothing like that. I mean, high-end guys. Yeah, you might be gun-shy because of a guy like Garrett Bowles hasn't worked out after 2 years, but you have to keep trying.
Have you heard the Peyton Manning-Philip Blake story that Orlando Franklin's told on the air?
Uh-uh.
Okay. Orlando's told this on the air, so I think I'm okay to say it. But Philip Blake was just so out of it, and Peyton Manning didn't trust him at all, and it was just obvious he wasn't going to work out. So Peyton Manning told Philip Blake that his big job was to push in all the chairs in the cafeteria.
Damn.
So it's about 3 weeks later, and Manning knows that Philip Blake had not been pushing in the chairs. So he goes up to a coach and says, hey, he's not pushing in the chairs. Why don't we just cut him? Seriously. Like, that's how cold Peyton Manning was.
That's kind of mean. That's not going to help the guy be a better football player.
Peyton Manning didn't care about that. Peyton Manning, if you weren't useful to winning with Peyton Manning, he didn't care about you. I mean, he just, you were such an afterthought. Like,
well, what happens if something happened to Manny Ramirez and Philip Blake is your center?
He didn't think like that. So Peyton would stay after to help running backs do whatever they need to do, because ultimately it would help him in the offense. But he couldn't stand Cody Latimer. So he didn't even know why Cody Latimer was, like, you know, catching a pass ever in practice. Because he goes, what difference does it make? I'm never going to throw him a ball in a game. It was like that. It's pretty cold-hearted, no doubt about it. But that's where his head was at.
I'd never been around a quarterback like that that would almost, to Philip, like, that's demeaning. And what's that going to do for your psyche?
Nothing. He was a bad pick.
A bad pick, but he was still on the roster, and you might have to dress him at some point, and he might have to snap you the ball.
Well,
and he's probably thinking,
Manny just decided he should be gone.
This dude, I'm gonna airmail a couple of these snaps because this dude had me pushing in chairs in the cafeteria. That's short-sighted. One injury to Manny.
Yeah, but
I think it was Manny at the time.
Don't you know if a guy's a player or not? Don't you know?
Pretty much. But there are guys that Trevor Price, rookie year, Trevor Price, a fantastic player, first round pick.
Yeah.
His first year, awful. Awful. Could not pass rush. Couldn't do anything. Barely got on the field. Next training camp, next mini camp, a beast. Like, just figured it out real quick. So it don't be too quick to judge someone based on a rookie year.
I'm going to give you a bit of a test, because if it doesn't happen in the first or second round, who else is out there? As we get into the draft, and we're going to have great draft coverage coming up this week. Can't wait to be part of it. But who are some of these other guys? Who are some other names we should watch out for? We'll get there next.
It's The Drive with Denver Broncos Ring of Famer Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
Yeah, Tom and I are talking about the whole process with the draft. And, you know, your story is...
Yes.
Would you like to say? Would you like to explain?
It's not much to explain. It's Major Gims right here.
That's explain and keep going.
Well, I only found out about him because my daughter takes French and had to listen to French music, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is the best song in the world.
At what point?
Couple bars.
Are we here?
The whole song is awesome. This dude can flat out sing. There's no auto-tune here.
Yeah. It took 5 years.
He's from Congo, but he's a French citizen. Lapia, the worst. That's what this song's about.
Let's turn it up a little bit, because I took... Wow. I took 5 years of French because I was trying to date a girl. Didn't work out. New song, We Are.
You got We Are?
I got We. New song.
Je suis.
It's like a possessive sort of new. All of us. Sad.
He's talking about, you know, Mother Earth and the Savior.
Oh, okay. I was chasing this girl around for a few years, and I vowed to take Honors French 5 with her.
Ooh, Honors French?
Honors French 5. Ooh. Yeah.
High school?
Yeah, junior year. I didn't need it anymore. I knew I was going to Syracuse.
Your French 5 as a junior?
Yeah.
But you took it in middle school?
Yeah, baby.
Oh, I took it in high school?
Yeah.
Well, Mademoiselle Lord would not be happy with my French today.
No.
Je m'appelle Thomas. That's about it.
Good. L'oiseau et son.
Comment allez-vous?
Bien. Un peu.
Oh, really?
Mm. Hmm. D'accord?
Oui. D'accord? Agreed?
My dad always just said, Pete always said that, l'oiseau est soif, which means the bird is thirsty.
My dad had this giant shirt. My dad was a big dude. Had this giant shirt. My brother went to Paris as like an exchange student. It says Jean Paris on it. My dad couldn't speak a lick of French, hardly any English. He didn't graduate high school, but he wore this Jean Paris giant shirt all the time.
Yeah, we got to the point, Madame Brophy for me, and we had to give a 10-minute presentation on a small village in France.
En français?
En français, 10 minutes. With like...
No.
Right. So I turned around this girl who just... she wasn't going to... I mean, I had tried. It just wasn't going anywhere. And the breaking point was really the French presentation.
What town?
Remember? Dude, I didn't get there because I didn't need the class. So I go to my parents. I say, you care if I drop French 5? They're like, well, no, I don't care.
You were in French 5.
So I go in the next day. And you have to have Madame Brophy, I couldn't stand her. And she had a very weird flirting relationship with the other guys that I was friends with.
That's a French teacher.
Very French.
Mademoiselle Lord was the same way.
Yeah, Danny and Jamie and Peter had this thing with Madame Brophy. It was borderline creepy, but it was getting them good grades, that's for sure. And I just did not have that same relationship. And so she didn't like me. She signed the paper. She didn't care. I told the girl, I was like, well, I'm dropping the class because, you know, I really should have said I'm dropping the class because you won't date me. But I just said I'm dropping the class because I don't want to do this presentation. So she tried to drop the class too, but her parents wouldn't let her.
Really?
Yeah, so she was ticked off at me. But, I mean, what does it matter? It didn't matter.
It all worked out.
Yeah, I know how to say the bird is thirsty, and I understood the couple little things you said to me, and, you know, that's about that. Any other centers kind of catch your attention? Aside from, you mentioned Bradbury and McCoy. I mean, is there anybody else out there?
I think when you start looking down centers, it gets to be converted guys or obviously Connor McGovern from Penn State. But
why did J.D. Walton work out like right away? Why did that make sense right away?
Well, when you watch J.D., he was, first of all, he handled Ndamukong Suh when he was at Baylor and Suh was at Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
So he came in playing against big-time college players, which can translate easily to the NFL.
So look for that. Look for that.
Yeah, big conference-type guys.
Okay.
This guy had to play. I was watching Bradbury's film against Clemson, which is, I mean, three of their guys are going to be first-round picks.
Yep.
And he held his own. So that, to me, is you got to look at their competition when you get to the offensive linemen.
What about Connor McGovern, which would make things very confusing?
I can't do it.
With the Penn
Big
State.
Big Ten.
That's right.
Yep.
Penn State.
High-end competition.
You know what's funny?
Isn't as fluid as a center as
Bradbury.
Bradbury.
So Bradbury stands out to you, period.
He does. And I watched McCoy, too. And to me, he looks like kind of a lot stiffer, not as fluid of an athlete as Bradbury.
What
so
about
I just think when you go down the line, now you're getting into guys that could be a Phillip Blake. I don't know.
Oh, really?
There are questions when you start watching these
guys. Too risky
at that. I'm talking premium type. We're talking about drafting in the first round, moving back.
What do you think of Sam Jones from Arizona State?
See,
who was drafted last year.
I liked
from
him.
From Thunder Ridge.
At Arizona State.
Yeah.
He came out early. Did he come out early?
I don't know.
I think he graduated but came out. He's still a year left maybe.
He may have something like that. He came in studio here a year ago. And
I loved him as when I saw him play at Arizona State.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe that's because I was watching him against CU. I don't know.
Okay.
But he's a guard.
He's a guard. Because they've messed around with him playing center as well.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I see where you're going here.
I just want natural position type guys. And now, Reisner, I understand he's more of a right tackle, but he did play center. He did play inside in college.
Reisner played left tackle.
That's a question that's too important to fail on. He's never played it.
Okay.
No, he played it. Well, I should back up. The clips I saw today at Wiggins, he was playing left tackle pretty damn well.
Putting kids in a trash can.
I don't know who those DNs were.
You know what would be great? Hey, by the way, Richie, how about this for a little project? Doesn't have to happen today. Can we possibly track down kids from Wiggins that played against Dalton Reisner?
That's impossible. Impossible.
No, we may have
Who's
someone...
going to admit to that? That was me on the film?
Can we find... They could be listening to us right now.
They're not calling in. No way.
Is it possible to go through Wiggins' schedule when Dalton Reisner was there and figure out some of the kids who got garbage canned by Dalton Reisner? That would be fun.
There's nobody that's going to admit to that. Would you?
I definitely would.
Oh, that was me that got pushed out of the screen?
No.
You can't see him anymore?
Of course. Let me
tell you what happened after that.
What am I doing? I'm from a town near Wiggins. What dairy farm am I working at right now?
He pushed me through the banner.
That's a project. And I'll put it out there to the world. If you or anybody you knew...
I'd love to see the player come on and say, man, our coach had us in a bad defense. It's all the D coordinator's fault.
By the way, if you want to see the video, I'll retweet it again. Nikki put it out there. I'll retweet it again during the break.
It's ridiculous.
He
has played left tackle. And what you see on there is the opposite of what you see right now with the Broncos at left tackle.
Peter King has done something really interesting. Really interesting. And we'll dig into it. It's crazy because it's a mixture of my theory and Mike Evans and his khaki. Do you understand the whole khaki pants thing?
No.
Okay. Wait till I try to explain this to you. It makes no sense, but I'll try to do it next.
Now back to the drive with Denver Broncos Ring of Famer Tom Nalen and T-Mac.
Make a big noise playing in the street, gonna be a big
All right, so what's the deal here, Richie? We'll get to Peter King in a second, but we've got people who played against Dalton Reisner. played against. Is high school coaches on the line? Oh, well, let's talk to him first. Hey, Matt, how are you? You're Dalton's high school coach?
Yes, sir. I am. I actually taught him in middle school and his freshman year in high school, then coached him through high school. So,
did you really coach him, or did you just stick him on the field and just say, you know, just kill everybody?
Well, kind of that, but I was his senior year. I experimented with him at middle linebacker. Mm,
we saw that,
and said, you know, just go attack.
Apparently, that worked. So, wait, is
yes, sir, it did.
8-on-8, 11-on-11. What are we talking about in Wiggins?
Well, we were we're a 1A program. We were a 1A program, oh. And his sophomore year, when his brother was quarterback, we went to the state championship game, made a pretty unreal run, which was kind of magical because we were going against powerhouses like Akron and got our ass kicked, to be honest with you, by Akron. But then made a great run to the state championship against Burlington and lost 14-0.
All right, we're going through the history. I just said, was it 11-11, 8-on-8, 6-on-6?
Well, it was 11-11.
He said Class A.
Oh,
it was 11-11.
Okay, so at what point does it get 8-on-8 and 6? Like, what? Where?
Well, less than that.
So okay. after 1A, if you dropped below a classification, you drop to an 8-man program. So
okay.
we're the lowest of low of 11-11.
I understand.
So
okay.
these clips we're
that.
Seeing, Nikki Jabala tweeted him out, some of his game footage from Wiggins. Is that indicative of every game he played? Like everybody was just pushed off the screen?
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much. One of my most memorable things was we got a huge snowstorm one day, and we were trying to clear the field off for practice, and instead, me and his dad just said, "Hey, let's screw it. Let's just have a fun practice." And I thought that was pretty hot stuff, and I kind of passed across the middle. We were playing a little street ball, and Dalton picked me up and basically clotheslined me, and I had snow up my nose, up my butt and all that, and I'll never forget that practice.
He did play some defense. Was he he seems like he has that defensive mentality where he's aggressive. Was he a better defensive player than offense?
No, he was much better offensively. He had no clue on the defensive side of the ball. But all you had to do was tell him either A gap or B gap, and
destroy.
All right, Coach. Well, very cool time for you, and we're big fans of Dalton. And you know, we'll see what happens, right?
Yes, sir. We will. I'm. In fact, he's coming to speak to my student body up in Brush, Colorado tomorrow.
Very cool. Very, very cool.
I can't for an hour and a half. He's gonna just come and hang out. And pretty excited.
That's awesome.
Time for him.
Thank you, Coach. Way to go. It's fun to look back at that film. It's remarkable, and I don't know if you'll ever see anything like that again. Unlikely to.
I don't think I will, because I'm pretty much not coaching for a while. I kind of took some time off and just concentrated on teaching and
Wait till Dalton has some kids. Maybe he'll coach them.
Yeah. It was a great time. I mean, it was truly a remarkable time.
I bet.
The kid is the most humble kid you would ever meet.
We appreciate it, Coach. Thank you so much. All right, we got this dude. Mike, you played against Dalton. Is that right?
So unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to. I grew up 20 minutes away from him. We were a division above him. I'm actually from Brush, Colorado, too. But funny story about him playing linebacker. We were at a 7-on-7 tournament at UNC, and he was playing middle linebacker, you know, kind of just standing there. But our plan was either go deep or go straight, you know, a flare to the side, you know, just kind of keep the ball away from him. But I played fullback, so every time I hooked up the middle, you know, he'd kind of just scream at me and pretend he was going to, like, bear hug me. But, I mean, just like, what is this guy doing here? Like, he's way too big to be playing here, but he was awesome. I mean, just coming from a rural area like that, you don't see many freaks of nature like him. But, I mean, he was an awesome guy.
All right, I appreciate it. I feel like we're talking about like one of the giants from Games of Thrones or something. It's a once-in-a-generation thing.
Winter is coming.
Thank you. Sam, you coached against Dalton Risner? How was that? Sean, are you there?
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sean. Yeah.
So when you were game planning against Dalton Risner, how did those meetings go?
What do we do against this guy?
Yeah.
I mean, I just...
That was the meeting?
Put your hands up and go, what do you do? I mean, the guy was just, he was huge. Like the last coach he was saying, you know, he's just a special kid. And it's like, what are you going to do against this guy? I mean, he was just unbelievable as a player.
All right. Any other thoughts?
And I think I'm pretty sure he ended up breaking his foot in our game. And we thought like, the kid was so special, so big, you knew he was going somewhere. And I was like, oh, my God, we just broke this kid's foot. Like, what's going to happen to him? And ended up having obviously a great career and going to the league. So happy for him. And, just a really special player.
All right. Did you win the game when he broke his foot?
No.
Okay.
Must have been late in the game where he broke his foot.
Fatality.
That's the coach. What do we do with this guy?
Well, try to break his foot.
Dive at his knees.
What are we doing?
The Legend of Dalton Risner. The Ballad of Dalton Risner.
Dude, I never, ever blocked anyone like that in my life. Like, he did every play. It's crazy.
But it would have been fun, right?
Oh, man, he must have loved football. man.
All right, that's what it looks like. You know, it is funny. Well, I'm sure you're pretty good, though, in high school. I'm sure, you know.
Like that?
I don't know.
No.
Really?
Nope. No way. Not even close. That's special, what he did. That doesn't happen. That's like in the movies, The Blind Side.
Right. I guess what I'm thinking about is, like, at what level of special do you need to be in high school where you're going to be a pro?
Oh, you start right away in a Big 12 school, 4-year starter. That doesn't happen often.
You know, football kind of defines you pretty early, doesn't it? I mean, you kind of know, right? Especially for offensive linemen.
It's a mentality, and you either have it or you don't. I mean, when I went to BC, there were guys much larger than me.
But were there guys much smaller than you?
No. Not offensive linemen.
So there's got to be some sort of line where, I mean, this is the line. Like, you know, you could be this small but no smaller, right?
Sort of. Just girth-wise, just to push people around.
Mm-hmm.
But I played with lots of guys that were much bigger than me.
Yeah.
That had no interest in pushing people around.
Right, right.
So you have to have the size. You have to be nasty, though. That dude's nasty. You watch him at K-State.
Right.
He's nasty. He's doing what he did in high school at Wiggins to Big 12 dudes, Oklahoma guys. I'm telling you, like, embarrassing guys.
Will he do that in the NFL? Will he do that to NFL guys?
Are Oklahoma guys NFL ready? I'd say yeah.
I'd say yes, too.
But the problem is he's a right tackle, and I don't know if he can play left, and we just paid a bunch of $51 million to the right tackle. I'd love to see him at right guard. I think he'd destroy people at right guard. And he's got tackle-ish feet.
So if you've got
Bradbury at center.
McGovern
left guard.
Yep.
Risner at right guard.
Yep.
Juwan at right tackle.
Yep.
And then the other guy.
This is The Drive on The Fan.
You're listening to The Drive with Denver Broncos Ring of Famer Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
All right, here's the Peter King thing. So Peter King, do you like Peter King? Are you
Yeah.
You know Peter at all?
Yeah. Good writer.
Respect what he does, the time that he's put into the NFL, which is gargantuan, right? So here's his updated mock from earlier today. Kyler Murray, he does have Kyler Murray going number one. You got a tinfoil hat on with Kyler Murray.
No, I just think that they've had time to look at Josh Rosen and the offense. Maybe they're thinking, we drafted him at 10 last year. What's your return on investment there? A terrible season, and you're going to get a third, fourth round pick for him?
ESPN did a fun thing today. So we're 3 days out from the draft right now. So they did a feature where they looked at their coverage 3 days from the draft last year at this time. And 3 days before the draft last year, Baker Mayfield was, you know, deep in the draft, or no way was he number one. 3 days before. 2 days before, Adam Schefter came out. Looks like he could be the number one overall pick. So it was interesting to see a year ago how quickly things could change. So whatever is happening today
doesn't matter, because tomorrow is what matters. Not Monday morning quarterback.
Tuesday. He's gonna have to start Tuesday afternoon.
Absolutely.
So we'll see. It's getting late in the day, you know, to deal Josh Rosen at some point. Although it could happen even after the draft, obviously.
I would assume if Kyler Murray's chosen with the first pick, they'll move him after that.
Gotta. But I wonder if you lose value. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. So we'll see. We'll see what tomorrow brings. We'll see what later this afternoon brings. Who knows? But in Peter King's mock, he's got Kyler Murray 1, Bosa San Fran 2, Ed Oliver, Jets 3, wow. Quinnen Williams.
Before Quinnen Williams. Oliver.
Before Quinnen Williams. Mm. Quinnen Williams to Oakland, Tampa Bay, Devin White. I've seen this a ton. Do you love do you like Devin White?
I do.
Yeah.
Everything, when I watched him at LSU, he's a growing player. He used to be a running back. His upside's huge. He can run. Assume he can cover, which is the biggest issue.
Better or worse than Al Wilson?
Different player. Al was...
Okay.
Different player. Al was lighter. I think Devin White's 240.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere around there.
Who would you compare him to, then?
Maybe Zach Thomas.
Okay.
Zach was a little shorter.
Yeah.
But that type player. And you know, Devin Bush the same way. Like, they're both, I think he's 5'11".
So, can't miss, 10-year can't miss guy.
Yes.
Okay.
Fantastic. If he were there at 10, if you're saying that a quarterback goes at 1-4,
right,
he could be there. Devin White.
I don't know how he gets by Tampa at 5. But we'll see. We'll keep an eye out for it Thursday night. 6, New York Giants, Josh Allen. This, to me, is remarkable. Just because, where are we going with Eli Manning there in New York? I mean, what is that going to be? What are they doing with Eli? Who is Eli Manning now?
He's an average quarterback.
At what point do you move on?
I mean, I would have moved on a couple years ago.
Yeah.
But they seem tied to him. And he's still the face of the franchise. Now, Barkley is quickly becoming that.
Right.
But, and I just don't see them taking a quarterback, though. I don't. I think that's the least of their problems. You have an average quarterback, which is okay to win with. He was average when they won the Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
He had a great defense. That's what won them Super Bowls.
Is he a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback?
No.
Eli Manning's not a Hall of Fame quarterback.
No. He's nothing like Peyton. Nothing.
Jacksonville takes TJ Hockenson. This is Peter King's draft. Which, amazing. I just, you know, I don't know about taking a tight end at 7 or in the first round
they've
at
become,
all. But
it's like safeties in the offseason. Free agency safeties all of a sudden became hot.
I know.
And tight ends are... You see Kelsey, there's so many Kittles and these
second,
these
third
tight
round
ends.
Guys. But
they were, but now people are seeing the value in them. So now people are trying to get those guys earlier.
Rightfully so.
Gronk was second round.
Yeah.
Wasn't Kittles, was he a fifth round pick?
I forget where he went. It certainly wasn't first
Kelsey
round.
Was
Kelsey
third round.
For sure, yeah.
But their value has changed.
All right, Juwan Taylor, tackle, Florida, Detroit.
I don't like him.
Why?
I don't know. It's something. He's got weight problems, and I don't think he can play left tackle. I don't like him that high, I should say.
Then Jonah Williams from Alabama going to Buffalo. And that puts the Broncos at 10. Now, under this scenario, let's just play the game a little bit here. Under this scenario, what would you do?
All the quarterbacks still available other than Kyler Murray.
Yes.
But I don't want a quarterback.
I gotcha.
And they just took all our players.
Yeah.
Devin Bush is still there?
Yep.
Man, that might be high for him, too. I'd try to move back a little bit.
Say you're stuck.
You gotta pick a 10?
You gotta pick a 10.
Gonna think I'm an idiot. Probably Drew Locke.
That's right.
I might go.
That's right. But
I might go quarterback.
That's right, because you may be stuck in that position. That is exactly what might happen.
Haskins?
Yeah. Well, they're not going to take Haskins.
My only problem with him is he's only a one-year starter.
That's right. It's going to be...
That one year was fantastic.
It was fantastic, but there's just been more interest overall in Drew Locke from the Broncos' perspective, top to bottom.
I know. They went and saw him during the season, but maybe they... Could be smokescreen. I don't know.
Not at that point. I mean, here we are. Here we are. It could be, but
up until this point, I mean, smokescreen.
So, but you see the situation that because the Broncos probably do want to trade back, by the way. But everybody wants to trade back. Almost everybody wants. Because if you really loved Drew Locke, you would be trying to move up.
Right. Yeah, but if you're looking at it like I am, you're thinking, none of these teams are going to take a quarterback, so why do I have to move up? I'm moving up because I want to get an Ed Oliver.
Okay, then you're
Quinn Williams.
Then you're moving up with the New York Jets or the Oakland Raiders or something like
that. That's where I want to be.
Okay, but it's not going
to
happen.
But not to get a quarterback, to get an impact player this year, 2019.
You can't get Devin Bush as an impact player?
He's impact as well.
Well, then why don't you take Devin Bush? But you know what?
He's not as big of an impact.
You're going down the right path, like why it might be Drew Locke at 10. I'm not saying it's going to happen.
I just think he falls into your lap.
It's hard to pass.
It doesn't cost you any draft picks. Right. You're not moving up to get him.
Right. It may happen.
But you might like a couple quarterbacks. And at 10, you can move back to 13 and pick up a third or
fourth. Well, here's how Peter King sees it. Correct. Peter King sees Devin Bush, and then it's a fall off. And Brian Burns, edge rusher, Noah Fant, Christian Wilkins out of Clemson, Dexter Lawrence out of Clemson.
Wilkins, by the way.
You're talking about the Clemson D-tackles. Yeah. Then Washington with Dwayne Haskins, Montez Sweat at Carolina.
See, you can mess with the Redskins now.
And
because they need a quarterback.
Well, that's right. And he's got Garrett Bradbury going 18 in Minnesota, which would be a perfect place to take Garrett Bradbury.
See, Minnesota doesn't need a center, though. They have a center. Elflein, or I don't know his exact name, but he's from Ohio State. He's been there. I think they got him in the third round 2 years ago. I think Kubiak and Rick Dennison are looking at him going, man, that's our center right there.
You know, Kubiak loved Quentin Nelson. Kubiak, the rumor
everybody
is...
Everybody loved him.
The rumor is, well, not everybody.
Oh, you can love someone and still pick Bradley Chubb.
Well, okay. Do you love him or not? I mean, Kubiak loved him. Like, he wanted the Broncos to take Quentin Nelson at 5. And then the fall in Peter King's mock, Tom, goes, I mean, it's crazy what happens to Drew Locke at this point. Like, we're at 19 and he hasn't been taken.
Right.
Then he goes, Rashawn Gary, Rocky Hudson, Josh Jacobs, Ferrell, Daniel Jones to the Giants. He's got some trades mixed in there. He's got the Giants with Daniel Jones. So you can see in this scenario, holy cow. I mean, if this comes to pass, why the Broncos would want to hang in there because, okay, now it gets kind of interesting. Like if you have taken Devin Bush, right? Now and then, you know.
What do you have to move back up into it?
I got a first round pick next year.
You giving that up to get back into the first round?
You'd have to. Yep.
No thanks.
Well, I mean, what else?
You still have to build.
How else would you move back into the first round?
Are we still not getting an O-lineman?
Well, that's right. That's the situation.
I'd take Reisner at that point. If I'm getting back in, it's to get an O-lineman.
That would be a good move, too.
Because you haven't said his name yet.
I have not said his name.
He's still available.
He's still available. And it just kind of goes like that. Daniel Jones, Jonathan Abram, Marquise Brown, wide receiver, Greedy Williams, DeAndre Baker. Those corners have really fallen, by the way. They used to be top 10 guys.
Well, this year.
Cody Ford, Byron Murphy, another corner. DK Metcalf to Green Bay. And Denver moving back up to take Drew Locke at 31.
See, the beauty of that is you do get that fifth year. And I think with quarterbacks, because they make so much money, you're getting a cheap option fifth year.
Right, which is why...
a couple years of Flacco, and it doesn't work out, assuming that he's going to be here for more than a year.
Yeah.
And you're picking up an extra year by jumping back into the first round at the cost of another first-round pick, though.
You tell me.
Who's protecting
him? Hey, by the way, Richie, do me a favor. Richie, look up what the Ravens gave up to go back to get Lamar Jackson. Look up what they... So we'll just use whatever they used to move back up as the barometer of what it would take to move up. Maybe it's not a first-round pick. Let's see what the Ravens actually used to get back there. But at that point, if you've got that sort of fall, now this is where this would be a nightmare scenario for Joe Flacco, because this is literally exactly what happened to him last year, isn't it? He was the starter. They drafted some other dude. I think they took like a tight end or something. And then they moved up to get Lamar Jackson. And so they traded some.
Is that two twos?
And they
52nd.
Took, what is it? Again, Richie, slowly. 52nd, 125th, and 2019 second rounder. So they gave up a...
two twos, a fourth maybe, I'm guessing.
But not a first rounder.
Right.
That's a... Hey.
Well, Baltimore's back in the first round, so...
Not a hard deal to do if you wanted to get back in the first. You don't have to give up a first rounder to get back in.
Okay, so you get a linebacker and you get a quarterback at the end.
Yep.
You've given up
your second round pick. Yeah.
You've traded fours.
Yeah. Now you got to move back into the second round somehow. So you're gonna have to.
You need a quality O lineman. You need D tackle. You need a tight end.
Right.
You can't give away all your assets to move up to get Drew Lock, who's probably going to sit for a year.
So why wouldn't you just take him at 10? Because if you just take
him... Well, if Devin Bush is there, I'd rather have the linebacker.
What about a linebacker
for 2019?
What about a linebacker in the second round?
Can he cover tight ends in the second round?
Can Mac Wilson cover tight ends? He's the third, fourth ranked inside linebacker. He'll be there. But now you don't have an offensive lineman. Now you're picking up your offensive lineman maybe in the third round.
Yeah, and Bradbury's not there.
And Reisner's not there. Nope. Now what are you doing?
Now we're screwed.
But the problem is, you just went 10-6. So, which is good. I mean, it's awesome.
Yeah, you're in the playoffs. You're picking at the end again.
You're drafting 22, 23, something like that.
I guess the second round pick you gave up is at the end of the second round, so it's not that important.
But there's a lot riding on Joe Flacco now.
But
your trade
just, you traded for a piece that's not going to work for 2019 with Drew Lock. Joe Flacco, Lamar Jackson's a completely different quarterback, so they went a different direction. Drew Lock is not a different quarterback. They're similar.
If they go 10, this would be an amazing situation if they did take Drew Lock at 10, and then they go 10-6 with Joe Flacco. I mean, because Lock's not going to play the next year. Forget it.
Well, it depends on how Joe Flacco plays in that 10-6, though.
I'm going to assume he's playing pretty good.
I'm thinking the defense is playing pretty good.
Then you're in the Peyton Manning situation. And maybe that's all right. You know, the Chiefs were a good team with that. They were a playoff team with Alex Smith, and they moved on from him. They were fine. It happened. It's actually a very manageable situation. If you really think the Broncos are that good, and that number 10 guy, 10th overall, is going to make that big of a difference, I mean, this year to make the playoffs, if you already think the Broncos are a 10-6 team, which is awesome.
Okay, well, you're thinking,
then why not take Drew Lock?
Because I'm thinking at number 10, you're getting an impact player for 2019 that will help with a 10-6 team. A guy that can cover a tight end in your own division.
Pretty important.
Those huge games that tight ends always have against the Broncos won't be that big. That will translate into a win. Split with Kansas City.
Let me ask you this. Are they 10-6 if they take a quarterback at 10?
No, because he's not impacting the 2019 season.
It's KKFN Longmont HD1 Longmont Denver. KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver. Yeah, it goes like that.
Picking at 10, you want a guy that's going to play now.
Right.
You're not. Bradley Chubb at 5 played now.
Right.
You're not going to wait around for 2020.
Correct.
You don't know what that's going to be. You have no idea. Is Chris Harris here?
Chris Harris is here.
He is.
But okay. Chris Harris can't be here with Derek Wolfe and Emmanuel Sanders.
I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Both of them? They're both gone.
At least one. Maybe both.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, me too.
The strength of this team is defense.
Yep.
And yes, Derek Wolfe to me is replaceable at this point.
They signed Billy Wynn today.
I know.
Who's a journeyman guy. Good dude.
Yep. He's been out for a bit.
Yep.
But he got hurt in 2017.
He's signed up. They've been looking at defensive ends left and right in this pre-draft process.
But they, and defensive ends, and Vic Fangio said that he looks at defensive ends as defensive tackles now. The days of the nose guards and three techniques
it's
and
all
ends
done.
Are all gone.
It's
They're
done.
Interchangeable.
Yep. Right.
And Derek Wolfe is that guy.
Yep.
He's a guy that slides down, plays over the tackle.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of guys that can kind of do that.
You're just going to have to make a choice. You just can't. To think that you can
But
keep...
a premium corner?
Exactly.
And you... an aging but receiver you... coming off an Achilles, and we're talking 2020?
Do you think Chris Harris is just going to play without a new deal?
No.
Right.
Because... That's why I'm saying if Chris Harris is still here in 2020, I assume he's going to play this year.
So you got some choices to make. Okay. Do you think he plays this year without a new deal?
I wouldn't.
I wouldn't either. Why would you?
No. He's not even the top paid cornerback on the team anymore.
Right. You just saw what happened with Le'Veon Bell. He sat up a whole year. He did fine. He cashed in. You saw what happened with Antonio Brown.
Chris Harris is getting older, though.
Exactly. So you don't step on the field until you got a new deal done. Forget it. You know, don't take that chance. Why would you?
They can find money. I hear this $11 million salary cap. They don't have the money to pay him because they have to pay the rookie pool and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. You can find money. You can redo. You can kick the can on Vaughn's money. You can... The Patriots do it all the time.
Well, yeah, because they release veterans.
It's restructuring.
Yeah, okay.
There's no pay cuts. Just move it down the road.
But they also let dudes go.
They do. But they replace them with other dudes.
Right.
So if it's between Emmanuel Sanders and Derek Wolfe and Chris Harris Jr.,
yeah, something.
I'm taking Chris Harris Jr. for the next 3 years.
Great.
Please.
And then you draft Deebo Samuel as a wide receiver instead, you know, and there you go from there. He's your slot guy. And now you don't have Emmanuel Sanders.
For 2020. Because he asked, we're talking, you're getting rid of Emmanuel Sanders this year? He's their best offensive weapon still.
You know, this gets into the weird financial question, like, how do you do the deal with Chris Harris then? How do you... And you know what? I don't know all the ins and outs of it. I don't know what it takes to
do. They have people that can do that. You can pay him. You can pay him. They just want, for some reason, to do it after the draft.
Yeah, because they may take a corner. They're thinking about the whole...
Greedy?
All of it.
They taking greedy?
I think they're considering... you know who they like, too, is that Byron Murphy guy. They like Byron Murphy... I think they like Byron Murphy more than Grady, to be quite honest with you.
It doesn't look good for Chris Harris Jr. if at 10 they're taking a corner.
Oh, it's over for Chris Harris if that happens.
Gone.
He's gone,
I assume they trade him.
I would assume so, too.
But they can't. Can't trade him.
Listen, there's a ripple effect for everything. If they take a corner in the first or second round, Chris is gone. If they take a defensive end in the second round or first round, that's the end of the line for Derek Wolfe. If they take Deebo Samuel in the second round, that's probably a wrap on Emmanuel Sanders.
End of Chris Harris Jr. at 10, there's no 10-6. I retract that.
It's not. I think they like Chris Harris more than...
Harris Jr. is better than any corner coming out.
Exactly. So you have to make a decision at some point. Okay, fine. So we're done on Chris Harris. We all agree about Chris Harris, right?
Yes.
Now you got to make a decision... with Derek Wolfe and Emmanuel Sanders at some point. You know, both of them...
This year. They've already gave them money.
No, well, they've given them money to think about things. They haven't given them all the money.
No. They've paid their bonuses. Their roster bonuses
in March. They have. They're thinking about it.
That's think about money?
It's think about money.
Hmm.
It's a lot of think about money.
Must be nice.
No kidding. Emmanuel Sanders got $1.5 million just so they can think about it. It's a big deal, man. But the $8.5 million isn't due for him until the season starts. And the same with Wolf.
They're here. Chris Harris Jr.'s here.
They're all here?
They're here. They're all here. They'll figure it out. It's always the last minute. It's the Vaughns. It's DT's deal. They always wait till the last minute. They'll drag it out. Make the players sweat a little bit. I don't think Chris Harris Jr. will be sweating, but they need him. He knows they need him.
Yeah. He's in a good spot.
It's a great spot.
Yeah.
And he's so underpaid.
Yeah.
Is his base 7-8, something like that?
Yeah, and they just signed Kareem for 11 a year,
3 years, $33 million. Chris Harris is probably like, really?
Right.
He's the same age as me? Okay. I just load up on the defense, draft some old linemen, let Flacco do his thing. It's not going to be fantastic. It's going to be steady. He's got good weapons. You figure a couple.
You do realize, though, the problem is if you go 8-8 or something like that, 9-7, 7-9, you do realize the top three quarterbacks next year are all going to be top five, top six guys. It's Tagovailoa, Jake Fromm, and Herbert out of Oregon. That's it. And you're going to have to do some magic to move up to get one of those dudes. You realize that, right?
It depends on who's in front of you. What does 8-8 get you? 15, 12?
In that department? Depends on what. Not 12. 12? I doubt 8-8 gets you 12. You're in the teens somewhere.
Three quarterbacks, all the teams in front of you. It's just like this year. All those teams in front of them are terrible, but they're not looking for a quarterback because they've already got their quarterback. The Jets have their quarterback.
Okay.
They may be terrible next year.
So this is a fun project. Who's going to suck next year? Who's going to be the top 10 next year?
It could be the Broncos.
Arizona's going to suck. It could be the Broncos.
The Arizona's going to be picking in the top 10 again.
This is a no-brainer. If the Broncos go 4-12 and it just sucks, there's nothing to think about, right?
Nothing.
Zero. You're going to move on.
Flacco's failed.
Yeah. Welcome to a Fromm, Herbert,
right.
You know, whatever.
Which we're fine with.
Zero to think about.
See, I want the Broncos to do well enough that they keep Flacco. Flacco's working for them. And he's in their prime if you talk to John Elway.
You better get to 10 wins then.
Or they're terrible and it fails and you get a great quarterback.
One way or the other.
What's wrong with that?
Because
that's optimistic either way.
Right. Because the worst world is to be 8-8.
Yeah, you don't want to be there.
The worst world is what they probably are projected to be right now. The most realistic world is exactly where they're going to be. But Tom, this was exactly where they were last year, too. I mean, when you think about it, it's mind-boggling to think you were there at 5 after a 5-11 season. Like, you were right there. You got a placeholder quarterback in Case Keenum. That's all he was. That's all he ever was. Nobody really thought Case Keenum was going to be all that great. You were there. It was in your hands.
They believed in him. They gave him $18 million a year to be the quarterback. Why would you draft a quarterback at 5?
Because your overall quarterback pool matters more than what you pay one guy. That's exactly what happened with Mike Glennon and Mitch Trubisky. They played Glennon all sorts of cash. Who cares? Then they moved up to get Trubisky. And it didn't matter if you're paying one guy all sorts of money because it's really about your entire budget. That's why. It didn't matter. It shouldn't have mattered. Because when you draft a quarterback, you're paying next to nothing for him. It's the cheapest you'll ever get him.
It is, and that's why you want to get him in the first round.
Because you get a fifth year on that. That's why this second round crap with quarterbacks just blows me away. You're going to get a guy who's not, you know, that valuable. This is the khaki pants strategy, by the way. This is Mike Evans and the whole khaki pants thing, is that you wait until the second, third, or fourth round, which is really preposterous. You want to see good quarterbacks drop off success, go dig through second, third, and fourth round quarterbacks. Percentage-wise, it's absurd. I looked it up the other day. Since 1965, and I don't like drafting quarterbacks in the 20s at all because those are playoff teams anyways. You shouldn't need to draft a quarterback. You're doing something kind of dumb if you're taking a quarterback in the 20s. And quarterbacks in the 20s generally are terrible. There's two exceptions, Aaron Rodgers and Dan Marino. Other than that, it's filled with the J.P. Lossmans, Tim Tebows, Brandon Whedons, Johnny Manziels, Tommy Maddox, you know, those guys.
Tommy Maddox.
Right, on and on and on. But picks 1 through 19, I looked it up. If you just want a good, successful quarterback who gives you a chance, the success rate for quarterbacks since 1965, in terms of are you a good quarterback that gives your team a chance to win, it's about 60% or so. Okay? It's not a slam dunk. And there's no metric to say, are you going to be a Super Bowl quarterback? You just have to be a good quarterback first. You have to be able to win games in the NFL. But if you take that same metric and you look at quarterbacks 2 through 4, second round through the fourth round, it's like 206 guys or something. It falls apart.
It's lightning in a bottle there.
It's like 18.
The Russell Wilsons of the world.
It's 18%. Around 18%. Okay? And you can easily do this. Go to profootballreference.com. It takes 3 seconds to put in a couple numbers, and you can see these guys for yourself. Yes, Russell Wilson's there. There's somebody there. There's 18%. 18%. So there are guys there, no doubt about it. But you mean to tell me you want to hope that an 18% chance of success works for you compared to a 60% chance? And to me, that's insane. So as far as I can tell, rounds 2 through 4, backup quarterbacks. Todd Collins of the world, like you pointed out.
I told you before, I wouldn't even draft a quarterback in the first round or later because you don't know what they're going to be. Let some other team try that.
That's what John Elway's been doing. That's the free agent route. That's a whole different deal.
No, he's done the Brock Osweiler and the Paxton Lynch route.
Well, he's brought in Case Keenum, somebody else, Peyton Manning, Joe Flacco. I mean, those are the guys.
It's worked out.
Brought in Mark Sanchez.
Yep. Yeah, you bring in guys, but, I mean, to be a starter. I don't think Mark Sanchez was destined to be a starter
here. There's no doubt you can do that, and that's the 3 to 5 year sort of commitment to any guy.
It's a safer way to go about quarterbacks now.
It's risky, though, Tom.
But you're missing out on so many more playmakers.
All right.
In the draft, high up in the draft. Quentin Nelson's. Devin White's. If Devin White's there at 10, want a quarterback?
No. You take Devin White.
Absolutely.
Then
all day.
On. Right.
Any of those guys before a quarterback.
If you do anything, especially this year.
Who's going to help me this year? Helping me?
You take Devin White, and you know what you do, Tom? You take Clayton Thorson or whoever, 5 through 7, you know, wherever. And maybe he works out. But who cares about if a guy works out 5 through 7? I mean, you're just lucky. You know, it's just the wild world of the NFL that, you know, it happens. It happened with you.
I'm okay because you need depth.
Yeah, sure.
And you need maybe you do strike it.
Yeah, maybe.
Who knows?
But if you
Trevor Siemian was not the worst quarterback in the NFL.
No doubt about
it. He was in the 7th round.
But if you waste a second round pick on one of these guys, you're an idiot.
Because that's an offensive lineman. That's someone that can help you for a decade.
Right.
These are important picks. They're not throwaway picks. Oh, let's take a chance in the 2nd round. It's not the 1st round, so we're okay.
That's the khaki pants strategy of Mike Evans and Mark Schlereth. Believe it or not.
Schlereth.
He buys into it every morning. I think Mark
guy that wants O lineman.
He goes along with Mike when Mike is like pounding the table on this stuff. It's amazing.
See, I don't even want the quarterback in the 1st round either, though. And I understand the benefit of that 5th year option.
Yeah,
but I would rather get the Joe Flaccos. I do. And you're going to say, well, Case Keenum didn't work out, but I think Joe Flacco will work out.
I love your optimism. I hope that's the case.
He fits the offense.
I hope that's the case. And you know what?
He's had a history of the offense.
I do kind of like your burn it to the ground mentality. Like, if it doesn't work out,
we're either going to the playoffs or we're absolute garbage. And yes, generational quarterback type guys, I'm all for. You're talking top 3. And if it doesn't work out with Flacco, we probably will be picking top 3.
But that's okay.
But the defense is good enough to not be that bad.
That's
the defense
problem.
Can carry this team.
Right.
For wins.
And if we're sitting there at 8-8.
Hey, tell Vaughn to, you know, take next six weeks off. Get ready for next year. Like LeBron. Just give him some rest.
Well, I mean, what do you think was going on in Bronco land? Wait a second. Yeah. What do you think was going on in Bronco land?
Welcome to Bronco land.
When they were 3-6 last year.
Keep it going, boys.
Right. Right. But then they go and win in Cincinnati, which was like,
screwed
wow,
them.
Okay.
Welcome to Bronco land.
And then you beat the Chargers because they can't figure out how to run the ball and bury the clock. And then you lose to Pittsburgh because Shelby Harris gets blocked into an interception. Classic moment. Shelby Harris gets blown away, loses his position and balance, and Ben Roethlisberger throws him the ball. Shelby Harris completely fails and gets the game-winning interception.
You gotta love, I roll.
You gotta love moments like that, you know?
Welcome to Bronco land.
And now you're 6-6, and you're actually...
Oh, wait.
This is a disaster, kind of. Like, wow, are we really going to keep Vance Joseph, the worst coach in the NFL? Are we really going to keep these guys? So they did the right thing at that point. They decided not to cover George Kittle in the first half.
That isn't the coaches or players. They just lucked out with that. They got lucky.
They lucked out that George Kittle went for 205 yards or whatever in the first half.
It worked out for them.
It did. And then
it worked out.
They cemented it by just...
They didn't try to do it, but it worked out.
They lost by one to the Browns. They got destroyed by the Raiders. They just figured it out. And they fired everybody.
I just like the proven veteran. I don't like college quarterbacks now. They're too hard to guess. Peyton Manning at Tennessee, you knew what he was going to be.
Well, and then you get...
Andrew Luck at Stanford, you knew what he was going to be.
What do you think about Tua Tagovailoa?
They run a more pro-style offense. I like the fact that he's been in legit quarterback competitions.
Right.
He's played in the best football conference
Biggest
in the
games,
country.
Tons
he
of starts.
He plays a big game. There's pressure on him every week.
Yep.
He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. I think he went through his first interception, I think, may have been in the playoff game.
What do you think of Jake Fromm?
A guy that had to struggle to maintain his job last year.
Won it, though.
Won it.
Over a quarterback, five-star guy.
The quarterback transferred.
Yep.
So he scared him off.
Yep.
Fields,
yep.
Again, he's the same situation as Tua. I mean,
right
best
there, though.
Football conference.
Right? So we like him.
A football-ready quarterback.
What do you think about Herbert at Oregon?
I don't...
A few more questions. Pac-12's a...
It's a weird conference.
Yep.
It's different football to me.
Yep.
Jared Goff kind of struggled when he came out.
Right.
So I don't know if he's a sure thing. He's going to help your team as a rookie. You're going to expect him to play.
Yeah. And here's a guy, Herbert, too, who would have been
he was
a top 10 pick.
He was thinking of coming out this year.
But he wanted to play football with his brother, who's a tight end now at Oregon. Like, he, like, said no to being a top 10 pick this year.
Right.
Which, to me, is an interesting decision. I guess he... really loves his brother. Or he didn't really feel emotionally ready to come play in the NFL. Like,
well, college is fun. Stay there as long as you can.
Yeah. Have you ever been to Oregon?
No. It looks fun.
It looks unbelievable.
The uniforms?
The facilities. The girls. It's cool. Phil Knight.
Yeah. College is fun.
Yeah.
I'm surprised more guys don't stay till they graduate.
What do you think of Trevor Lawrence?
Man, I don't know. And he's a year away.
You don't know on Trevor Lawrence?
No.
Come on. Really?
He's a freshman. I watched him as a freshman.
Dude.
He looked pretty good. But the championship game, he was bailed out on five or six throws by his receiver. What's that dude's name? Ross?
Trevor Lawrence is going to be such a slam dunk. He's going to be the most consensus number one since Andrew Luck.
Can we let him play his sophomore and junior year first?
It doesn't even matter. If he'd be smart to never play football again until the draft in 2021.
Really?
Yeah.
You can't be advocating for that. You'd want to draft him after sitting out 2 years.
I'm not telling you what I do. I'm just telling you who he is.
You would
right
draft
now.
Him after
number one. Yeah.
You just watched him as a freshman.
Yeah, yeah.
Sits out 2 years.
Yeah. What do you think? He's going to get worse?
He's not going to get better. You're not getting better, you're getting worse.
Lawrence, if Trevor,
is he not getting
well, hold
worse?
On, hold on. If Trevor Lawrence was in this draft right now, where would he go?
One.
Right. All right.
But that's why I'm saying let's watch him. Let's watch him for two more years.
Okay.
He might be terrible.
He might be Jake Locker.
He throws to
he
great.
He could be Jake Locker.
Is he
that
could
gonna,
be.
Yeah? Is that going to happen? Something tells me he's going to be okay. But he could get hurt. He could get hurt. If you're number one already, why would you play again? If you're number one already and you've won a national championship.
It looks bad.
To who?
GMs?
Really?
Future teammates?
To a team that sucks.
I understand.
That is the worst team in the NFL. That's going to look bad.
I don't even like Bosa sitting out most of the season.
Do you like Ed Oliver sitting out?
That was a weird situation. He wasn't getting along. He doesn't play nice with people. I love him.
He's a quirky dude.
I'll take that dude all day.
You know he's a quirky dude,
oh,
right?
Oh, he's strange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a different drummer that he marches to.
Yeah.
You would get along with him.
Yeah. I can understand why he wouldn't get along with his coach, though.
Yeah, because his coach makes silly rules.
He was the team.
Right.
And when he didn't play, they racked up 1,000 points against them.
And he wore a jacket or a sweatshirt.
On the sideline.
Yeah, God forbid.
Yeah.
And he loves horses. He rides a horse around campus. As does Devin White, by the way.
Oh.
I'm serious. You didn't know about
down
the...
Baton Rouge? He's riding a horse?
His name's Maisie or Daisy or... Yeah, look it up. He's riding a horse around LSU. And
I'd
Oliver's
see him
into
riding Thunder, man.
Maybe that could happen. When we come back, Todd McShay has changed his tune. The Avalanche have taken care of the Calgary Flames. The inspiration of Michael Malone. Things are happening. Here's The Drive on The Fan.